Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So good to see all of your faces here this morning. If you have your bulletin, just a few announcements before we begin here. Just note on the back, a few things here. Just a reminder for the church work day. That's going to be this coming Saturday, April 29th. It will be work day here in the morning. We're looking to start around 8:30 and just going to do some things on the outside and the inside of the church as well. Travis even reminded me this morning just to say if there's rain, we can always do things inside. There's plenty to be done in here as well. So we're hoping a lot of people will show up and that the more we get, the more we'll be able to get done, really. So I hope that you can come. And if you have questions about that, you can always contact Travis. He'll be able to answer any questions that you have. And we look forward to get a lot done here at the church on Saturday. Also, just a reminder about the ladies, come and have a treat. Their program is going to be here on May 13th. There's a sign-up sheet on the kitchen door, so if you would like to be a part of that ladies get-together, be sure to sign up so they just have an idea how many will be here. And it should be a fun event. They always have a lot of laughs and enjoy just getting together. I know they did last year. So I hope that you, if you're a lady, take advantage of that and be a part of that get-together here at the church on the 13th. Also, just a reminder about the CBC Summer Church Camp. I haven't really gotten anyone yet that was interested, but if you have children maybe in that middle school or high school age group that would like to go to summer camp, I believe there's still time left. So if you have questions about that, just talk to me after service and I can get you all the information and registration that you need for that. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Alan?
Darren, I sent out by email pictures to the one that gave us email addresses and wanted a copy of it.
Yeah.
So if you want a digital copy of it, didn't get it in one, clear out of none.
Okay. Alan, thank you again for all your work on that. We look forward to seeing the final copy, the book of the directory. And so we're excited about that. And if you didn't hear that, Alan was just sharing, if you would like copies of your photos digital, he can email that to you. Maybe you want to get those printed yourself for a family photo or something, and he can send that to you. No cost, right, Alan? No cost. He'll email that to you. That's better than going to the photo studio. It's no cost to it, and just see him after service. He'll be glad to get you that information. Any other announcements? Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Gracious, most heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, I thank you for each person that is here. Lord, we pray for those that can't be with us this morning for various reasons. Lord, just pray that your hand will be upon each one of them. Lord, just pray too that your hand will be upon us. Lord, our hearts and our ears will be open to hear your word. Lord, we come here this morning to praise you, to worship you, to just share our thanks for receiving your Son Jesus. Lord, he gives us life. And through him we have eternal hope. And Lord, we praise his name, the name of Jesus. There's no other name, Lord, whereby we must be saved but in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for him. We praise his name here this morning. And we worship him and his cross. Father, we praise his name. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. In your bulletins this morning, we'll stand for our call this morning, the call to worship. We'll stand together. This coming from portions of Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's turn in our hymnals to page 289. "There shall be showers of blessings." 289. God certainly does shower us with blessings, doesn't He? And He showers us with rain as well, the blessing of rain. We seen that yesterday, and we were thankful. I know we've been dry, and we needed the rain, so we were thankful for that. It was a blessing to receive the rain, although at that same time it was raining, we were trying to have the carnival for Isabel Fox over at the Sangersville Ruitons Towers. And so the rain hampered things a little bit, but you know, around lunchtime, it cleared off and the sun came out and was shining and people were walking around and enjoying the carnival there for her. And I think we had a really good fundraiser. So praise the Lord. I haven't got yet a result or a tally of how much money was raised for Isabel. But I'm sure I will in the coming days. They'll get with me and I'll be sure to report that back here to the church of how much was raised for her. I think it's going to be a good number, though. We were told, you know, over 350 halves of chicken were sold. There were a big silent auction that had tables just filled with things. And so I know that did well. And there was lots of food. Our booth was the Walking Tacos booth. I don't know how many of you ever heard of a walking taco before. That was a new one for me. But it's a neat idea. It's just basically a bag of chips with the taco meat in it and all the toppings, and you can just take it and go. And so we served that. I think we served about 50 of those. So that was great. And it was just a lot of support from the community. You got to see a lot of the community there. And we're just thankful and blessed for that support. So we pray now for Isabel and for her health condition. We just pray that God will heal her. And we pray, too, that this is a part of that healing with her community coming around and showing their love for her. I know that was a big support. I seen Judy Fox, her grandmother was there, and she gave me a big hug and was just in tears with all the support of the community coming out to help her granddaughter. And so we just praise the Lord for that good thing that we can do there, and appreciate everyone that supported that and worked at it. Special thanks to Kenny and Sherry. They helped us set up and had the tables and electrical cord and all the other things we needed. So really appreciate their help in getting that together. And Deborah, too, really appreciate her. She made all that taco meat. And it must have been a good seasoning, and you did a good job, Deborah, because they came back for more. That says a lot. So we're thankful for that. Okay, that's a praise that I have. I want to take time just to gather other praises or prayer requests that we have. And of course, prayer requests as well. Just keep Isabel Fox in your prayers for her healing also. If you would you also put Bill Ware, would you continue to put him in on your prayer list? Bill, praise the Lord, he is home. He's resting in his house, and he's glad for that. He had a good experience at the hospital, but he says there's no place like home, and I agree with that. So he's thankful to be home, and he's having a lot of people check in on him, his family, his brother-in-law, his brother, sister. And so we're just thankful for that, for all the help that he's received, and certainly he appreciates all the prayers from you, the church. And we just pray that this surgery is going to give him the relief he needs for his back. And I think it is already. He told me as he was walking around the house, he said, "Can't you see I'm already better?" And I said, "Praise the Lord, Billy. I just thank the Lord for that." He said, "I'm already walking better than I was before I had this surgery." So he's very thankful for that. And we just continue to pray for him and lift him up in our prayers. Also, continue having your prayer, Nancy Bailey. She is home as well and recovering from a fall. Also, if you would lift up in your prayer Charlotte Grimm. We've been in prayer for her for a fall that she had. She was taken from the hospital, and she's at Serenity House, which is in the Stokesville area, and she's doing well. We just continue to pray for Charlotte and her recovery. And just thank the Lord that His hand is upon her as well. Are there other prayer requests or praises? Dana. Yep, keep my dad Dana in your prayers. Dana has been having some trouble with his heart, and so he's getting some help and seeing different doctors, and we just continue to lift him up in our prayers. Thank you, Pauline. Other prayer requests? Lee?
I have an update on Savannah Miller.
Okay.
That's a 13-year-old girl that had good sense to get a bone marrow.
Yes. Yes.
Her grandmother texted me crying and said that she's doing better.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
And then last night, she emailed and said that they're hopefully going to be able to take her off the bed later today.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Been on the bed later since.
Wow.
Since the
transplant. Yes. Yeah. Wow. Yep.
And they have a fundraiser for her that's been a church.
Okay.
And Martha said that they sold out.
Yes. I heard about that. I heard there was a fundraiser in Churchville.
And the expenses of it are completely skyrocketing. We're going back and forth.
Yeah.
And they have a raffle for a Lisa Diamond raffle.
Okay. Okay. If you didn't hear that, Lee just shared that there's a raffle fundraiser for Savannah, a little girl we've been praying for. And she's had the blood transfusion and is fighting cancer. But if you would like a ticket for the raffle, just see Lee. It's for a Lisa Gammon print. And if you would like to be a part of that and help out in that way, just talk to Lee following the service, and you can help support Savannah. I'm sure there's a lot of expense in the traveling and back and forth, so certainly pray for that. And praise the Lord for the good fundraiser that they had as well yesterday. Thanks for that update, Lee. Really appreciate that. Also, just wanted to draw attention that our flowers this morning are in memory of Patty Simmons. It's kind of in celebration of her birthday. And we miss Sister Patty. It's been about 6 months since she went to go be with the Lord. And I can still picture her face back there. So we miss our sister. We know she's with the Lord. And we just cherish those flowers in memory of her here this morning. Anyone else? Marcia? Yes. Well, congratulations, Bonnie. Well, yes, absolutely. What a celebration today for that. So, anyone else? Any other prayer requests or praises? With that, I'm going to have our ushers now to come forward and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, as we turn to you with our prayer requests, Lord, our time of need, Lord, we can turn to you. And we can seek you and seek your face, Lord, and you hear our prayer. And you desire to answer our prayer, Lord, and your goodness. And Lord, we just pray now for those names that were lifted up here this morning. Lord, you know each situation. Lord, you know each person. Lord, we just pray your will upon their life, your healing upon their life, Lord. Thank you for the success of these fundraisers that were working this weekend. And Lord, the funds that they help to bring to these families in need. Lord, we just pray for their situations, Lord. Just pray for your healing upon them. Lord, just pray that you will continue to draw us close together as a community to help those in need. Lord, you call us in your scriptures to reach out to those that are in need of help, the widows, Lord, and those that are in need of aid. You call us to be your hands in that time. Lord, I just pray we continue to operate as your body, the body of Christ. Lord, give us the courage and the strength and the energy we need to do your work, to be about your business always. Lord, to be focused on our mission while there is still time. Lord, we thank you for the offering that we bring forward this morning. Lord, we bring it forth and lay it upon your altar. Lord, we seek to please you with it. Lord, you bless us with these mercy drops. Lord, you bless us in so many ways. Lord, we have more blessings, as the hymnist wrote, than we can count. Lord, even if we tried to count our blessings, Lord, we wouldn't be able to. And so, Father, we offer these tokens and gifts to you, Lord, as just a symbol of our love and our thanks to you who provide all things. Lord, even the air in our lungs is something you provide. And Lord, we praise you for it. Bless us, I pray, as we turn to your scriptures, as we continue to look to what it means to be a church and those basic things that you're calling us to, Lord. I pray that you open our heart to receive that message. I pray for the children's ministry as well. Lord, continue to open their eyes and ears to hear the good news message that you give to each one of us, the good news of your Son Jesus and the salvation and hope and love that he offers to each person who seeks it. Lord, we praise you this morning. We praise your name. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church and our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. And I want you to turn in your Bible with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're continuing on through our series, The Basics of Christianity. The Basics of Christianity. Last week, you know, we talked about that foundation of our faith. Talked about those initial, maybe building blocks of what it means to be Christian, like Christian faith. Kind of that question, what is God wanting from me? That's kind of an age-old question, isn't it? What is God wanting from me? And we all ask that question. We want to know. We should desire to know what God is wanting from me. That way we can be about it and doing it and trying to answer that question with our life. And doing those foundational things. What am I to be doing as a disciple and a follower of Jesus? What are those instructions? Well, I said last week that what we're supposed to be doing is following this book. And that's our instruction manual. When we want to know what God is seeking from us, what God desires from us, we need to get in His holy word. And to read it and to know it and to seek to understand it, what God is calling us to. In this scripture is the fundamentals of our faith. And so that's kind of where I'm really just kind of pointing out some highlights of these fundamentals. Now, last week we said believe, didn't we, was the first fundamental. Kind of that first basic instruction that God is wanting from you to follow is to believe. That's how salvation starts, isn't it? You can't be a Christian without believing. We read those scriptures. Without believing and faith in Christ, you have no ability to have a relationship with God. We maybe can try to do good works and do good things, but the Bible tells us these things do not please God. The only thing that pleases God is believing in His Son, Jesus. And that's where salvation starts. That's where our relationship with God starts. It's through believing. And believing just doesn't stop right there at the cross. We continue to believe, don't we? That's what we talked about last week. It's the continuation of our faith is through believing. We continue to believe. Believing is trusting, isn't it? Believing is having confidence. Believing is having faith. Believing is how we sustain our relationship with God. We continue to believe. We should recommit ourselves to believing over and over and over again. Satan wants to sow doubt in our life, doesn't he? He wants us to doubt the things of God. Just like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God say? That's doubt, isn't it? And Satan will continue to sow doubt in your life if you allow him. But God says we're to fight doubt with believing, with faith. Believe in God. Believe in me, Jesus would say. So that's kind of that first fundamental. This Sunday, we're kind of moving on to the second, I think, fundamental, which is to belong. We're to belong. We're to belong. Okay, if you have your scriptures open here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." We are to belong. What Paul is describing there for us is the church, isn't it? The body of Christ. That's what we are. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. And God says we are created. We are to be belonging to the body of Christ. It has many members, notice there, but there's one body. Being many are one body, so also is Christ. And so we're a part of this body of Christ, and we're to belong to this body of Christ. You know, along with believe, that second instruction is to belong. And really, it's in our human nature. God has created us with a desire to belong, hasn't he? You kind of can think back, even in your own life, that you can see even from a very young age there was a desire for relationship. You might say that God created us with a relational void, that we desire, we want to have relationships in our life. We desire to be around other people. We want to be accepted. We want to feel accepted. I was thinking kind of back early on, even when you're a kid, you know, there is that desire to be accepted by others. The other kids, right? You want to fit in. You want to be a part of the other kids at school. They want to be accepted. And oftentimes there's groups that form in that era, in that time of our life. Well, it's not the only groups that form. I guess there's groups as well as when we enter into adulthood. We still have different groups of where we want to recognize each other and to have acceptance and where acceptance is given. So we are created with a need to have relationship. And we do that in all sorts of ways. Maybe we join groups to be a part of. And again, fulfilling that that need for relationship in our life. Sometimes we even root for the same sports team, won't we? We'll get into groups that maybe root for the same sport. We'll join clubs, join groups, even join social media groups, book clubs, special associations and societies that we join together with. We engage with other like-minded people. We share common interests and hobbies. All these things, they give us a sense of belonging, don't they? None of this is wrong, really. It's important. It just kind of illustrates, it highlights that we are made with this void, with this need to have relationship with others. And we see that, and we go about that in different ways. Well, I think the ultimate membership is right here in the church. I truly believe that the church should provide something when it comes to relationship that no other group, no other association can provide. I think there's something that the church can provide that nothing else, no matter how we organize, can provide that which the church can provide. This is not just like any other social club. God calls this the body of Christ. There's no other group that you can be a part of that is called the body of Christ. This is it. It's the church. The church alone. And I believe that there should be an ability to have relationship with each other within the church that we could not find anywhere else. Not only that relationship with each other, but that relationship with God that we come to find in and through the church. The church is supreme. It's supreme. It's the body of Christ. And that's what our scripture says here. For we are the body of Christ, having many, many members, but we're one body. For by one Spirit, verse 13, we are all baptized into this one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into this one Spirit. There's no division there, is there? God doesn't divide us by race or nationality or language or color, whether we're even slave or free. He says that we are all one, and we are united together within the Holy Church of Christ. You being here is being a part of something that is really grand. I hope that you feel that way. I hope that you know that. That the church is not like any other organization. And when you unite yourself to the church, you are uniting yourself to the body of Christ. And that you have, as a result, entered into this wonderful relationship with each other and with Christ. We are blessed to be a part of the body of Christ, aren't we? I say that often. I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for each of you. That's right, every one of you. I hope that you feel the same way about everyone here as well. I'm so thankful. I can say that without any hesitation in my heart, that I am so thankful that I'm a part of the body of Christ. And it's not just this group, it goes beyond, doesn't it? When we meet with other believers, around other Christians, that same fellowship that I find here, I find even among the other brethren as well, the other churches as well. It's worldwide. We should be able to travel to a different country, different culture, different language, and still feel united with those Christians that are there because we are part of the same body, amen? Even though we might be thousands of miles apart, we might be completely separated by our culture, the way we're raised, the way we talk, the way we understand things, and yet when we come to the foundations of being the body of Christ, we are the same. We serve the same Savior. We are united by the same Spirit. We are a part of the body of Christ. The church is supreme. There's no other fellowship like the church. And we are blessed to be a part of it. So what are the blessings of being a part or being a member of the church? Well, I'll give you just a few that I thought of. The blessings of being part of the family of God. Well, I think that word family right there. Family. We are family. Adrian Rogers once said, some people only enter the church three times. When they're hatched, when they're matched, and when they're dispatched. You know what he means by that? When they're born, when they're married, and when they're dead. And sadly, that's the case for some people. The only time they enter the church is when they're hatched, matched, and dispatched. And what a shame that is. There's so much more to gain from the church than just coming that little bit. Yeah, there's so much opportunity. There's so much good that comes from being a part of God's family that they miss out on that. You hate to see when sometimes you only see people at Christmas and Easter. Isn't that a shame? Christmas and Easter. We see the face, we say hello. It's so wonderful to see them. And you just wish, you long for them to come and be a part of the church week after week. And that relationship, it just makes it even more beautiful. It's like adding another rose to the bouquet, isn't it? Just makes it that much more beautiful. And so I feel bad for those that are missing out on so much. The opportunity to be a part of a loving church family. Some people grow up, I think, without a loving family. Some people have a family, but there's no love. But in the church, you should find a loving family. The Bible says, 1 John 2:6, whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. And this is how we know that we are the children of God, and how we know that, and who the children of the devil are, it says. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone that does not love his brother. So in the church, we should love each other, shouldn't we? We should love each other. We should care for one another, even as a family should care for one another. If we love one another, we are a true church, right? A church that's not loving one another is a fake church. It's not a church at all. That's like some preachers that don't preach the gospel. In my book, they're not a preacher at all. If they're not preaching the gospel, they're not a preacher. They're preaching something else. And a church that's not loving each other and not acting like a family is not a church. It can't be. The Spirit of God can't be in that church. Because the Spirit of God says that we are to love one another. That's how you'll know. Jesus said that you are my disciple, that you love one another. And likewise, if you don't love one another, I know that you're not of God, but you're of the devil. That's what the Bible says. We're to love one another. We're to be a family. We're to care for each other as a family cares for each other. And some families, they don't love. Some families, they don't care. But that shouldn't be within the church. That's not a biblical model of a family. The biblical model of the family cares for one another and loves one another and appreciates one another and prays for one another and loves each other. We've all probably had in our experience been a part of some church that was dysfunctional. And there was no love. That's what was missing. The element of love was missing. It was more about being angry and division and fighting. That's not a biblical model for a church. It's not. God calls us to love one another, to have that family within the church. I tell you, if you go through something difficult, sickness or tragedy, you see that church family come around you, you know that you're a part of something grand. You see that support system praying for you, loving you, encouraging you, maybe bringing you food or just reaching out, sending cards, doing whatever they can to lift you up in that time of need. That's the family of God, isn't it? That's the old hymn, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." We should be able to sing that, shouldn't we? We should be just ecstatic that we're a part of God's family. Now, not only is it we are a part of the family, but also we receive this friendship as well within the church. And I think that's just an amazing thing to have, the friendship that we build and work on here at the church. Not a fake or self-seeking sort of relationship, not a self-gratifying relationship, but a sacrificial relationship with one another. Selfless, not easily angered with each other. A friendship that keeps no record of wrong. Let me say that again. A friendship that keeps no record of wrong. That does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Isn't that the sort of relationship that you want to be a part of? A friendship that protects each other. Not try to hurt each other, but protect each other. A friendship that trusts. A friendship that hopes. A friendship that preserves. A friendship that's built on love, which the Bible says always perseveres. You know, all I'm reading to you is chapter 13 out of 1 Corinthians. That's it. I'm just using that to define the relationship that we're to have. You know, that's the love chapter, right? You hear that a lot at weddings. I'll use that a lot. That's all I'm doing. I'm just basically taking the definition of love and applying it to our relationship with one another. That's how we're supposed to love each other. That's how God defines love. This is love, it says, and how we're to love one another in the church. It's family, it's friendship, it's also the fellowship of the church that we find, this fellowship with one another. In the body of Christ, there should be unity. Notice there, that's what this is talking about. There's differences here. There's many members. But note, there's unity. We're one body, right? We're baptized together by one Spirit. We're a diverse group, aren't we? We have different backgrounds. We do different jobs, different occupations. There's diversity among us, but yet there should be unity. We should be able to come together and unite and find that fellowship within the body, even as God desires from us. We are to be in fellowship with one another. You know, church should be a happy place, shouldn't it? We should come to church and be happy that we're here, that we're a part of each other. When we see each other's faces, it should bring a smile and a delight in our heart. It should be. This is the fellowship that God calls us to. The Bible tells us that our differences should not divide us. Not our ethnicity, not our color, not our social status. Not even if we're slave or free. But while we are all different, we are baptized, the Bible says, into one body and has made us to drink of one Spirit. Now, there's the family, there's the friendship, there's the fellowship, there's the filling of the Holy Spirit that we receive in the church. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That you've been filled with the Holy Spirit that God has given to you, a part of Him, and He indwells within you. That's what part of being a part of the body means. That's one of the blessings as being a part of the body of Christ. There's a lot of different associations we join, groups maybe. They give out all sorts of different gifts, maybe medallions or hats, things that make you feel a part of the group. But none of them's given out the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you receive when you join into the church of God. He says we're given the Holy Spirit. Now, notice here, this scripture goes on to talk about that very thing. If you read on down, for it says verse 14 there, for the fact that the body is not one member but many. And then it goes at the foot and talks about the diversity of it. And if you keep on reading there, and you look at, I got to find it here. There, I needed to go upwards, not downwards. Verse 4, there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 4. Verse 5, there are difference of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. There it is. Even as he builds into this many being of one body, he's talking about this gift of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit within each of the believers. And it's a profit for everyone. We've been gifted to bless the whole body of Christ. For one, it's given to word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. There's this diversity among us. And there's this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, even the diversity of the Spirit among us. And so we just praise the Lord for that. To one has been given wisdom, to one knowledge, and continues on, all for the well-being of the body of Christ. Okay. Last one I'll say here is that I thought of is the forgiveness of sin. Now you think, well, hold on now, Pastor. We know that that comes from Jesus above. And you're right. Forgiveness of sin is only acquired through Christ. The church has nothing to do with that. You enter into the church after you are forgiven of your sin. But what we've been given, what I mean by forgiveness of sin, what we have is by being a part of the church, the body, the ministry of Christ, is we have been given the message of forgiveness of sin. Isn't that wonderful? God has entrusted to you, the church, the message of His Son, Christ Jesus, and His salvation. He's placed it upon you to be sharing that message. He has rewarded us with the ministry of salvation. Isn't that wonderful? You have been given a reward that you are called into the ministry of salvation. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16, and I'll just end with this, really, this scripture. You think, I'm not just preaching this stuff I'm coming up with myself. I'm not smart enough to come up with this stuff myself. I have to preach what the Bible says. Matthew 16, verse 19. And this is Jesus speaking. He's talking to the disciples and the church. And he says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one and that he was Jesus the Christ. He has given to you the keys to the kingdom. That's right. As part of the church, the body of Christ, he has given you the keys or the authority. That's what the keys are. Keys are authority, aren't they? You have keys, you have the authority to enter. You have keys to your home, you have the authority to enter your home. Someone that comes and doesn't have the keys does not have the authority to enter in your home. And that's the way you want it, right? Do you want a bunch of keys handed out and people just walking in through your house like a museum? No. Only the people that have authority to enter that. And what God is saying to you as the body of Christ, I have given you the keys. I have given you the authority. And he says, binding things in heaven which will be bound and binding things upon the earth which are bound. What's he mean by that? He means that I've given you the message of salvation. I have entrusted it to you. And when you preach the good news of Christ, if people come to a salvation, a belief of Jesus in their life, that is settled in heaven. It's settled in heaven. And those things that are bound here upon earth, that is a person's relationship with Jesus, when that is secured here, it's secured there. And he says, I have entrusted you with the keys to do that. Boy, you didn't know you were rewarded with something so great, did you? We have been entrusted with the good news of Jesus Christ, His salvation, this eternal hope. It's been given to us, the body of Christ, and we've got to take it out, friends. We've got to preach it. We've got to proclaim it. We've got to tell others about Jesus. Even if they've heard it, they need to hear it again, don't they? Listen, we know lots of people around us that they're not part of the body of Christ. They're not enjoying all the benefits and blessings of being a part of God's holy church. And we need to invite them to come. Be a part of this. This is so important, isn't it? It's a family. It's friendship. It's fellowship. It's faith. We need to be sharing the good news and inviting people to be a part of this amazing thing that Jesus has given us. You are to belong. Don't you like that? God's created you to belong. To belong a part of the body of Christ. I heard this little, I don't know, it was like a little story. Try to bring some application. I thought it applied. I'll try my best. But there was a father who gave his dad a, or there was a father who gave his son a vehicle, rather old vehicle. And he said, you know, here, you can have this. Try to get out of it what you can. So the son took the old car to a pawn shop. And the pawn shop looked at the car and said, that's kind of old. I'll give you $1,000 for the car. And the son, he thought, well, no, I don't want to get $1,000 for the car. So he took the car to a dealership, someone that's dealing with cars. And the dealership looked at the car and they said, well, the car's rather old. It's only worth, we think, $3,000. And he said, well, I don't know if I want $3,000 for it. I think it's worth more, so I'll take it somewhere else. So he took the old car to an antique car club. And they looked at the old car and they said, oh, wow, you've got a rare jewel here. We'll give you $10,000 for the car. And, of course, he parted with the car. Came back and told his dad what he had done. He took it to the pawn shop. Then he took it to the auto dealer. Then he took it to the antique car club. And his dad asked him, he said, well, what changed? Why did the antique car club want to give you so much more? And the son said, well, they gave me more because they could see the true value of what I had. And I thought, that's the church. That's why we should be able to love each other better than any other club, because we should be able to see the value of each other. Christ has died for you upon the cross. He has given His life for you. You are more valued than anything in the world. And when you look at your neighbor beside you, he is loved by God just like you are. We should see the value of each other. That's why we love each other with this Christ-like love. We see the value of one another. We see the value. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You as we sit here among our brothers and sisters in this church. Lord, we thank You that You've made us to belong a part of this group. Lord, I thank You for each person that is here, that they are brothers and sisters in Christ. You have made us Your family. You have made us one. And Lord, we see the value of each person here, not only because of the spiritual gifts that they bring to the benefit of each of us. But Lord, that You were willing to die on a cross, to give Your life as a ransom for theirs and for ours. Thank You, Lord, that You've made us to be the family of God. You've called us to belong to this family. Help us to support one another, to love one another, to love even as the love chapter directs and guides us to love each other. Lord, if there are divisions among us, we pray for forgiveness now. We pray that we lay aside those divisions, that we seek healing and unity among the body of Christ. Lord, if there are things in our mind that we hold on to, Lord, if there's anger in our heart towards a brother or a sister, we pray now that You take our anger away, and Lord, that You fill us with love. Lord, we praise You and we thank You that we are a part of Your body, the body of Christ. We give You thanks and praise for that. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, let's gather now in our closing hymn, page 279, Faith of Our Fathers. Page 279, let's stand together and sing. Your parents were probably singing that hymn. Maybe even your grandparents were singing that hymn. It dates way back. Faith of Our Fathers. We're the family of God, aren't we? Around you, you're surrounded by the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. And for that, we give God thanks that we belong. We belong. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we go, Lord, we thank You that You have made us one. And through Your Holy Spirit and through our Savior Christ, we serve one faith. We have one faith. We have one Savior, one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who saves all, and Lord, who blesses all. And we praise His name here together. Lord, thank You for making us one through Him. And bless us as we go this week. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen.